Well, good morning, everybody. Well, praise the Lord. You know, last week we talked about having the same mind and the same judgment and putting on that mind of Christ. And one of the things that I guess I'll be talking today about is servitude. I don't know if that would be really the right word. Maybe it is. I'm not sure. It's about having that servant attitude. And one of the things that, to me, there is just yet no greater joy when you truly come to that place where you're just serving the Lord. Where you come to that place where you just lay it all down. You get that fire that He gives within you. He even gives you the will and the desire, does He not? And that fire that He gives to you to go and serve Him. I mean, there's no greater joy in that. To me, there's just no greater joy. Now, I want to look at how Jesus walked. I want to look at how He served. Because when Jesus went out, He went out doing what the Father's will was. And He came not in as using authority and all these kinds of things, taking lordship over. No, He came out as a servant, did He not? And yet He's our Lord and our Master. And yet He became obedient unto the death on the cross for us, that we might have a chance to have life in Him and to take part of that new life divine that He has for each and every single one of us. He is a mighty God. He is here. He does want to work a wonder. And all that we need to do is just choose Him. That's it. Now I want to I'm going to go through a few different scriptures. You guys don't have to turn here, but I want to go to Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. And it says, "But Jesus called them unto Him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many." Now, just in that statement right there, the Lord came down to what? Minister. To give His life for a ransom for many. Now I know that when we look upon and we compare ourselves against Jesus, we fall incredibly short. And really that is the standard. Is Him. But the thing that we have and the opportunity that we yet have before us is great. See, we can be a partaker of what He has. We can be a partaker of His will. And it's an awesome thing. You know, it's an amazing thing as we just come together and just make that choice. Because I could tell you right now, whereof do we have to boast when we come to Him? We have nothing to boast of. I mean, He gives us that love. He gives us that faith. He gives us that desire. He gives us that will. He gives us everything we need. And when we come together in His name, there He is in the midst and He shows up. And it's just amazing that we can partake of that. But we see here, as the Lord came down, He came to what? Minister. That word minister means to what? Serve. You also could replace that word serve with love. Now I want to go to another scripture again, and I want to go to John chapter 13, verse 34. And it says, a new commandment I give you unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now, I know that the body is moving forward. The body is coming together. And it's an awesome thing to see. And one of the things that, in doing this, the commandment that the Lord has given us is to what? Love God, love one another. We're to love one another as Christ loved us. And what did he do for us? He laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for one another. Now, when you talk about that type of love, that is not a type of love that comes about naturally. No, in our natural man, what is it that we want to do? We want to look out for uno numero number one, us. That is the nature of man. And the old man, in the natural way, is absolutely contrary to God and his ways. But the thing is that we can yet partake once again of his love. And I know, I can tell you right now, when it is that place, what put a fire in my belly for the Lord and what renews me in strength is when it comes to about loving the Lord and loving one another. I mean, I can tell you right now and testify of just going down and helping out my brother James. The Lord gave me strength. He gave me a fire. He renewed me in my spirit to serve him. And it's an amazing thing. Because when I went to go do all that thing, it's not that I came with some great knowledge or a way about going doing anything. No, I just showed up. What does the song says? Come just as you are, right? And what happened was I just showed up. I didn't know what to expect. I knew I wanted to go and help my brother out, but that's all I knew. And then when I went to go, the Lord restored me in a great way, and it became a blessed time, and it was filled with joy. And if we're going to come together as a body, this is the place where we need to be. It's coming to that place where we love God and love one another. And we choose. It's all that you got to do is sit there and say, and show up and choose to serve him. It's that simple. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing.
Did you turn your mic off?
I might have. Is that better? I can hear myself just fine, but I guess the people online could not. But it's an amazing thing. And, you know, when we go, and we can even go to John 14, I believe, or even, yeah, it's in 14, and we can go to 1 John, where it talks about how what? I write these unto you, little children, for what? That your joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Actually, let me read it because I think I'm butchering it. But he says, look, in chapter 15, verse 10, he said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Actually, I'm on nine. So have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. The one thing to understand and unto get is that what it says here really highlights in verse 11, these things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you. So who is it that puts that joy on you? It is the Lord. Whose joy is it? It's his joy. It's his joy. And once again, we have another example of that love and that commandment that is given unto us. That we what? Love one another. And that loving one another is what? Laying down our lives for one another. And I'm not talking about just taking a bullet for somebody, folks. No, I'm talking about that reasonable sacrifice that it talks about in Romans 12. Where you are that living sacrifice. You're that living sacrifice. You're willing to sit there and love somebody when they're absolutely unlovable at the time. Or love them throughout whatever struggle they have. Or lend a helping hand. Or whatever the case may be that the Lord would have you do. You become that living sacrifice. And what you do is you look upon them not through your eyes, not through your own understanding. No, but through Jesus' eyes and His understanding and through His love. It's like looking at them through the cloud. Now, I remember there was a part, and I forget which one it was. It was a prophet or something where he spoke of where the Lord, it was the Lord's people that this guy was looking upon, and all he saw was a bunch of stiff-necked people. But then the Lord showed him the cloud. And when he looked through the cloud, what did he see? He saw a people of the children of the Lord. That's through the same cloud we ought to be looking at for one another. Look, because I know for me, if it wasn't for people looking at what the Lord was able to do, they weren't looking at me through my failings, through my struggles, through my screw-ups, through my mess-ups. I was in and out of this ministry left and right. But I know, but Davey told me one time, when Davey told me, what he said was, look, Philip, we weren't looking at what you were able to do. I mean, gosh, if we were looking at what you were able to do, man, there would be absolutely no hope for you at all. And that's just the truth. I mean, I can look out, and if I'm looking at what you guys are able to do or what you're able to perform, I would say, man, we are doomed. There is yet no hope, right? But no, there's absolutely is hope, because what Davey was looking at was through the cloud. Davey was looking at what the Lord was able to do. And see, we need to set our eyes upon Him and what He's able to do, what He's able to perform, and how He is able to create and instill in us and strengthen us in that new man and give us that new man, untainted, unfouled, uncorrupted. That's the gift that He's given to each and every single one of you. And we can all have it. And so when your brother or your sister or you're struggling, I mean, do you sit there yet and bite and devour and judge and condemn them? Yeah, there is a judgment. There's a judgment of the Lord. And there might be a judgment that comes upon where it's, look, man, it's a thing that's in your way from you growing in the Lord. And see, that's love to go tell that person what that thing may be so that they can what? Be turned unto the Lord. That's a good thing. That's an agape love, but it's not a judgment to condemnation. It's not a judgment to cast them out. It's not a judgment to put them down. No, it's none of those things. It's that you recognize what the Lord is able to do. And you recognize, so when your brother or your sister are struggling and having a struggle, you lift them up in prayer. You see how you can yet serve them and help them to move forward in the Lord. You see, you seek out to what can be a blessing unto them, to help them break free of whatever the thing that they're struggling with or they're battling with. See, that's love, folks. We ought to be doing that. I mean, yet Christ, while we were yet enemies, He yet died for each and every single one of us. Each and every single one of us, while we were what? Yet sinners. And let me tell you, if we were there during that time that Jesus was going to the cross, we'd be sitting there saying that whole multitude going, crucify Him, crucify Him, crucify Him. We would have been. And what did Jesus say? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. that's love, folks. And what's it to us to seek out to help our brother, our sister in the Lord to move forward, to break free out of that struggle? What is that to us? Shouldn't be but anything but a great joy to do. And when you yet seek it out, it becomes a what? A great joy to do. It really, truly does. See, a lot of times we give up our lives to take upon what? His life. And what does our old life have to offer? I mean, really, let's take a look at it. I don't have to go too far, but our old life really stinked. It was terrible, man. I remember the struggles, all the things that came upon, almost kissing death many times. I mean, I remember this, absolutely miserable. And you know, the truth of the matter is that you can be right here in this meeting, you can be attending the Bible studies, you can be attending to the services, but unless you receive that which He has for you, you can be in that same miserable old place again. I remember talking to Ricky years ago, and Ricky would say, "Man, Philip, I have left this ministry. I have done these things." And I would say, he goes, "My thing was just inward. My address would be right there, right beside my father, and be completely out of the way. You just took off. You just did it outwardly. I was doing it inwardly. It didn't matter. It didn't matter." But when he actually chose to receive the Lord and to go forward in those things which the Lord would have him do, then he became a partaker of that new life divine. See, that's the opportunity that we have right now, is to become a partaker of that new life divine. Be a partaker of the Father's will. A partaker of every good thing that He has for each and every single one of us, if we will receive it. And if we would just yet choose to say, "You know what, Lord? I'm Your servant. Here I am. Use me, Lord." Just come into that place and go in there. It's that simple, folks. It's that simple. See, what happens a lot of times is we want the Lord to be our servant. No, we're His servant. Amen? I can remember back on the tapes how Davey would talk about, man, he would hear some people praying. It wasn't like he was seeking out to listen to them, but hear something praying, and he'd turn around and say, "Man, I'm surprised the Lord, why don't you slap that person, man?" Like making the Lord to Toby there. I mean, come on. But no, we're His servant. And see, it seems like when we yet lose our life, we yet gain His, it seems like on the natural and the carnal mind that, look, man, we're going to lose everything. Oh boy, man, I got to serve people. Great. Man, I got to go and I got to, people are going to call me with issues. Oh, great. Got to talk to them about this. Well, man, if that's your attitude, that's your reward, is it not? Or, man, they're asking me to go over here and do that. Man, I wanted to play video games. Now, I know that none of you ever battle with this. I mean, not a little bit at all, you know what I'm saying? But you think that, man, and then when you're done playing your video game, or you're done doing what you wanted to do, right? And then all of a sudden, where you left that, what's next? What's next? Now I gotta find something else to please me. I mean, there's no fulfillment in that, is there? I mean, I don't know about you. That's what it seems like to me. Now, don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying video games are are bad. No, I've had a blessed time playing with little Edmund with video games. The Lord's been very much in it and enjoyed it. The Lord gives us things to enjoy. That's not what I'm getting at. But the fact is, the thing is, when you yet seek out and take upon His life, He gives you a joy. Right? He gives you His love. He gives you His faith. He gives you His will. And if you're not in that place where you are, where you have that, look, where do you seek? You seek Him. You be honest with Him. You become open and honest with Him. You let Him know where you're at. And you tell Him, Lord, I don't have the want to. Give me the want to. Lord, I don't have the fire. Give me the fire. Lord, Lord, strengthen me in my inner man. I don't have a fight left in my bone right now. And you go to Him and you confess these things to Him. And then you ask Him to strengthen you. Put that fire in your heart. Create in you a clean heart. And what do? You go forward. I don't care how you feel about it. You go forward and you believe that prayer. You believe that prayer and you go forward in faith. And it doesn't matter how this flesh feels. This flesh will never want to do the will of God. It never will. It's contrary to Him. Absolutely contrary to Him. But you go out that determined. That which you ask for will happen. And you go out and serve Him and watch Him move. And you ask those prayers not to consume it upon your own lust. No. But you ask those prayers to go forward to do the thing that He would have you do. And what does He do? He fills you with all those things. And it's an awesome thing. It's a great thing to partake of. It's an awesome thing. And so when that person does call you, you see what their struggle is. You lift them up in prayer. You seek the Lord how to minister unto that person or give them whatever words that they need. And you trust them in the midst of it. And what does He do? He gives you just that. Why? Because you're good. Awesome. Have something to offer? No, because He's good and He loves them. And so that's what you do. And then you see Him break forth and you get to the other side and all you can say is, praise You, Lord, hallelujah. And it doesn't matter what it is that the Lord would have you do. You can have great joy in whatever it is. But how else will people know, folks, the love of Christ unless there's somebody willing to show them that? Unless there's somebody willing to receive that from the Lord themselves. They will what? Know you're My disciples by your what? Love for one another. What did Jesus do? He washed the disciples' feet. He came to heal the sick. Cast out devils. Made the blind to see. He served. He showed them the love of Christ. Look, He washed the disciples' feet as an example of He's coming as a servant. We ought to be washing one another's feet by the washing of the Word, by giving the Word and encouragement and reproof and correction, by admonishing, whatever the case may be, whatever the case is called to be. That's what we ought to be doing. I want to go to 1 John. I want to go to 1 John 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He what? First loved us. That right there. We love Him because He what? First loved us. Man, we had no idea what love was until we met Jesus. Now, we might have had an idea what philios love was, but not that agape love, not that charity of what John's speaking about right here. I remember the thing that stuck out to me when I would go off and be stupid was the love that was shown to me from the Lord used by His ministers. I remember the safe place and the anointing of the Lord, and I remember there was no other place like that. And that love was manifested unto me, and I just knew that, man, the only safe place was in Him. And I knew where the Lord had called me. I remember at Davy's place, Ann and Cheryl, I mean, they would love me. I remember being a safe place. I remember that the Lord's love was manifested. It drew me back. It drew me back. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Look, folks, I'm telling you this right now. I mean, here's the litmus test. Here where is the litmus test. Man, you could say, you could sit there and you could say you love God till you're blue in the face, but yet you turn around and you cast down your brother in judgment, and it doesn't even have to be vocally or outspoken, just in your mind and in your heart. Just in your mind and in your heart, and you think that you love God, that is a lie. You're a liar. That's not the truth. And so when you recognize and that light hits you and this word hits you and you say you're hating your brother, you're begrudging your brother, you're doing or your sister, whatever the case may be, you recognize that you're not loving God. So where do you go? Once again, before the Lord, the source of where that love comes from. And you can sit there and confess unto Him, Lord, I am not loving You. Because I'm not loving my brother, and I am not loving my brother, Lord, I need Your love. I can't do this without You. And you yet go to Him again. And you repent of not loving. You repent of this. And repenting is what? A changing of mind, a changing of direction, a changing of the way that you were going. Completely turning 180 degrees around. That's what that is. And you know, you see, you know, we read the Psalms, especially Psalm 51. There's no other place to get it but Him. No other place to get it but Him. And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him, that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God in what? Keep His commandments. Once again, what is commandments? Love God, love one another. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Or no, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are what? Not grievous. Once again, not grievous. I think I was sharing a little bit of example of a grievous commandment, how this thing can be, what, grievous if we allow it to be. The only way why it's grievous unto you is because you're selfish. You're full of self-love. You're about yourself. About what you want, what you desire. It had nothing to do with the Lord or anybody else. This comes to the truth when it becomes grievous. I share this with you because I know that way too well. That's what something I do not need to know anymore. And once I got to go to the Lord. Got to go to the Lord. But his commandments aren't grievous. They really aren't. And when we choose to yet serve, love God, love one another, serve God, serve one another, it really is the greatest thing, greatest joy that I have ever had. It truly is. And I wouldn't want to trade it for anything in the world. Nothing in the world. And let me tell you, the world has nothing to offer anyways. It really doesn't. But the Lord does. It's like the sweet spot. I don't know how to describe it. I don't know what scripture is where it talks about we ought not to say what? The burden of the Lord? Because it's not a burden, folks. It's a joy. It's something that you can be a partaker of. That is an awesome thing. That is an awesome thing. That is an awesome opportunity that we ought not to waste or to put asunder. That's the thing we ought to cleave to, hang on to, not let go of. Not let go of. See, when you seek out your desire, when you seek out your own thing, it's never fulfilling. It's always, what's the next thing that I could do? What is the next thing I can do? In the sense of trying to feed this flesh, which is never satisfied. On the flip side, on that coin of serving the Lord, you get joy. You get strength. He will pour it out upon you when you decide to serve Him. He will yet pour it out upon you. And that's something where you want more of as well. But that is fulfilling. It's almost addictive. It's like the best drug I have ever done. I want more of that, Lord. What do you have for me next, Lord? Thank you for the opportunity, Lord. And I'm not talking about checking the checklist. No, I'm talking about going forward in faith and in love. That's what I'm talking about. See, the checklist, you can just go through the motions. The heartbeat 20 million ways away, 20 million light years away from it. Checking the checklist is about you. It's about you becoming righteous. It's about you making yourself righteous. That's all. It's just nonsense. No, this is something completely different. This is something where the Lord yet fills you with everything that He has. It's yet a place where you don't ever want to leave. I don't know how to describe it. What does it say? What? Perfect love, what? Casteth out fear. Well, man, if I have fear and fear hath torment, then I have torment. If I have fear, then I am not in perfect love. Do I come across to not being in that perfect love? Absolutely. But I'm going to continue forward to seek Him out. And I know the Lord has some refining. Just this morning, I had fear of coming up here. And fear had torment. And I had to go to the Lord. And then I had to recognize and say, Lord, look, Lord, what is it that you have for them? Because I know you love them. Talking about you guys. And I know the Lord has something good for you because He is good. In Him is what? Light. And there's no darkness at all. And if we can just come to the grips of just making Him our Lord and our Savior and grabbing hold of that and not letting it go and choosing Him at every single turn on the moments, on the spots that you struggle, your battle, your highlighted word, man, yet you choose Him, yet you choose Him, yet you choose Him. And what happens is yet you get filled. He shows up in a mighty way. And it's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing. So let's choose Him. Let's quit being about our own thing. Isn't that tiresome? Are you guys ready to let that go? I don't know about you, but I am. And when it shows up, I mean, it's not like, hey, man, it's all of a sudden, it's not like a one-day choice, you know. No, what does Paul say? He what? Dies daily. He dies daily to that old man, to his own will, to his own wants, his own desires. He dies daily to that. And it might not be daily. It might be hourly. It might be every 10 minutes. It might be every 5 minutes. So what? Yet choose them, choose them, choose them. And you determine within yourself that you're going to serve the Lord. You determine. It says in Philippians, Paul says to what? Work out what? Your own salvation with fear and trembling. You determine. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. It doesn't matter. See, that's the excuse we like to hang on to and grab a hold of so many times, is because so-and-so is being a jerk, or this situation is collapsing this way, or this is going that way, whatever the case may be. So I can't love. That's BS, man. You choose. You choose to love the Lord. You choose to serve Him. I don't care what's going on around you. I don't care. Neither does the Lord, because He's bigger in that situation. And if we will yet trust Him and choose to serve Him and trust Him in the midst of that, look, He can be magnified. And what needs to be magnified other than the gospel of Jesus Christ? Yet, you see, Paul and Silas, when they were thrown in the prisons, what happened? They were praising and singing praises unto the Lord. What happened? The power of God moved in that, and the jail cells flied open, and the person that Paul was sent to go minister was right there, and it could happen no other way. So you might not know what the Lord's doing. So what? You trust Him anyways. It might be just like that, that there would be no other way but for these things to come to a head and the light to be shined, so others that have been issues in their life can now be shed. How many times has a bad thing happened, folks? A bad thing's happened. I mean, Lisa, you've heard me say this before. She thought something would be so terrible, and I would say, hey, actually, that's a good thing. And she's thinking, what? That's a good thing? How is this a good thing? I said, well, man, all these things becomes exposed, and we can look at the gospel, and they can get more of the handle of the gospel. And you can get more of the handle of gospel, and you can get more of a handle of how to go about in the Lord's way. I see this as being an absolute awesome thing. Amen? Look, He knows what He's doing. We call Him God. I mean, He did speak things into existence, all right? I mean, He's an awesome God. He is freaking well able. Well able. And if we could just choose but to just trust Him, He can be manifested. And people can see that light, see Him, see that power, see that love, and grab a hold of it themselves. Because He's the only one that can save any of us. And He has nothing but good things for each and every single one of you guys. Not only does He have nothing but good things for each and every single one of you guys, He has good things for those that are without right now. But if we don't choose to serve Him, how will they know? If we don't choose to love God, love one another, how will they know that love of Christ? How will they know? They won't. So it's important, not just for your own salvation, but for others as well. So let's choose to trust Him. Let's choose to love Him. Let's choose to serve Him. He is well able to accomplish His will and to actually use you in it. And it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how weak you are, how strong you are. It doesn't matter. God is not limited by you. You're not that big. He is well able. And if we can just wrap our hands around that, and in Him is light and no darkness at all, what cannot the Lord do to stop us from going forward? Actually, no, the Lord wants us to do. What can the outside world or the enemy do to stop us? Let me put it that way. That was said completely backwards. But nothing. Nothing can come against us. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. And no matter how bad it fought, remember in Acts, just clicked with me. Remember in Acts, no matter how bad the Pharisees fought against those Christians, the word of the Lord went out. And at every turn that they went to seek to destroy and keep them to stop preaching the name of Jesus, the more the Lord got magnified. So don't give up. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Don't give up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Submit yourselves unto Him. Resist the devil and he what shall flee. He has to. Because he can't stand in dark. He can't stand in the light of the Lord. He cannot. So don't give up. Because it just be the thing that the Lord gets magnified the more. Amen. That's it. I'm done.